Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to continue in our present our second part in our two-part series on God's will and man's will. In this study on God's will and man's will, we have talked about Martin Luther's book, The Bondage of Will. We've talked about Arthur Pink's heresy that states that God's will is always done. And we've also talked about the conflicts and contradictions that are set up in the Bible if a man or if men do not have free will. We've also studied that the phrase "will not" occurs 363 times in the King James Bible. We've also stated that the phrase "if you will not" occurs 19 times in the King James Bible. And we've also stated that the word "if" occurs 1,595 times in the King James Bible, and that that word "if" is the word that indicates a choice is available. Now, the Calvinistic doctrine of total depravity, which we talked about at the very outset of this discussion, is based upon a denial of man's free will. Now, depravity is a scriptural doctrine, but the Calvinistic doctrine of total depravity is unscriptural, as it is taught by the Calvinists themselves. If man does not have freedom of will, then he is not a morally responsible agent. If men and women do not have freedom of choice, then they cannot be held responsible for or declared guilty of sin. A declaration of guilt or innocence implies that a choice is possible. Guilt or innocence without having had a choice is an affront to the perfect justice of God. The sovereignty of God and man's free will are not conflicting concepts. They are precepts that are clearly identified and taught in Scripture. Both are copiously and firmly declared in Scripture. Only a God that is truly sovereign can grant free will. Only a God who has no fears of his subjects will grant free will to his subjects. So that's a statement that we made at the outset of this study. Now we're going to get back into it. We documented page after page of scriptures in our first part to this presentation, dealing with various phrases that are used to document the doctrine of free will. And we're going to start back over in that endeavor with perhaps some of the most tragic narratives in Scripture that use the phrases "would none" and "ye would not." These two phrases are used 13 times in our King James Bible. We quote 10 of them here, and that includes Deuteronomy 1, verse 26, Deuteronomy 1, verse 43, Deuteronomy 8, verse 20, Psalm 81, verses 11 through 15, Proverbs 1, verses 23 through 33, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 19, Matthew 23, verse 37, and Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Now, we're going to read those passages of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 26 and verse 43. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Verse 43, so I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before you face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Then in verse 11, we have this, but my people would not, hear that again, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. Now, next we're going to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 33. Starting in verse 23, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. Let me repeat that. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my proof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. That's Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 33. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved, and in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. Repeat that again, and ye would not. And then next we have Jeremiah 29, verse 19, states this, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear. Emphasize again, it states, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. That's Jeremiah 29, verse 19. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And then in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Then we have the phrases that contain the words, why will ye? And of course, that indicates that there is a choice that's involved in it. The phrase, why will you, that is used in Ezekiel 18:31 and also in Ezekiel 33:11. Those verses say this, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? What do all these impassioned pleas mean in the passage of scripture that we've just read out of Psalm chapter 81, verses 11 through 15, Proverbs 1, 23 through 33, Ezekiel 18, 31, and Ezekiel 33, 11, Matthew 23, 37, and Luke 13, 34. What do they do for the Calvinistic doctrine of irresistible grace? It's clear from those passages of scripture that they resisted the will of God, and they resisted the grace of God in those passages of scripture. They prove that the Calvinistic doctrine of irresistible grace is not scriptural. Men and women, saved and lost, do resist the grace of God. Why is it stated that God is long-suffering 10 different times in the Bible? It is even stated that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. If God's grace were irresistible in salvation, he would not need to be long-suffering. How many times have the elect resisted the grace of God in salvation? On a more personal level, how many times did you and I resist the grace of God in salvation before we were saved? How many times do Christians resist the sanctifying grace of God in their lives? Now, the phrase, next phrase we will deal with is the phrase would not. This phrase would not is also used quite frequently in the Bible. God was constantly having heartaches and problems with Israel because they would not. Take a look at Judges chapter 2, verse 17, 2 Kings 17, verses 13 and 14, 2 Kings 18, verses 11 and 12, 2 Chronicles 24, verse 18, Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13, Jeremiah 13, verse 11, Ezekiel 20, verse 8, and also in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 13. We'll read those verses now. Judges 2:17. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of God, but they did not so. Then we've got 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. Now we have 2 Kings chapter 11 verses 2 Kings 18 verses 11 and 12. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel into Assyria and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, and would not hear them. There it is again. And would not hear them, nor do them. Then we have 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 18 and 19. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Repeated again, but they would not give ear. Then we have Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. This refers really to people resisting the teaching of the Word of God. And we'll start in verse 9 of Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Notice in that passage again that it says they would not. Not that they could not, but they would not. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. Then we are in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Then we have Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 13. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yet they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it came to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. The problem in all these passages of Scripture for the nation of Israel was, and by the way, throughout the whole Testament, was not that they could not, but that they would not. There was a definite choice, a choice of free will there that they could have made, but they refused to do it. Next, we have the expressions of if ye be willing and if ye will in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, and also in Psalm chapter 95, verses 7 through 11. And by the way, that passage in Psalms 95 is quoted over in the book of Hebrews also. All right, let's start on in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing, I repeat, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11, state this. Verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Why would God want to reason with someone who had already been unconditionally elected to hell, or reprobated to hell, as some like to say? We could refer back to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, where he's talking about reasoning. Come, let us reason together. In fact, how could God reason with someone who lacked the ability to exercise free will? Reasoning indicates the possibility of alternative outcomes from different choices. If there is no free will, there is no alternative for choice. If there is the commandment to harden not your heart, then there must be the option to harden, or not to harden the heart. In contrast to all of these is the biblical expression of could not. The phrase could not is used 115 times in the King James Bible, and is used in the context of a discussion about salvation 3 different times. These 3 different times occur in John chapter 12, verse 39, Acts 13, verse 39, and then Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. We're going to go and read John chapter 12, verses 37 through 43 to get the context of that particular passage there. Verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. John 12:37 indicates that those called out in verses 38 through 43 had many opportunities to repent and believe, yet they did not believe. Some of the Jews, including the chief priests and Pharisees, sought to murder Lazarus and stir up trouble. See John chapter 12, verses 9 through 19 to document that. They could not believe because they had already rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a passage of scripture over in Jeremiah chapter 6 that states that the people of Israel could not hearken because of uncircumcised ears. They had already rejected the word of God, and that's exactly what they have done here in John chapter 12. They had hardened their hearts, and they had hardened it themselves. Now let's take a look at Acts chapter 13 and read verses 38 through 49. Verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your way, your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Verse 47, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. That is Acts chapter 38 verses, Acts chapter 13 verses 38 through 49. The context of Acts chapter 13 verse 39 is the preaching of the gospel to the Jews in the synagogue at Antioch in Pisidia. Verse 39 is a simple statement that the Jews there could not be justified by the law of Moses. They were obviously being given the opportunity to repent. Otherwise, the warning of verses 40 and 41 would be useless. The Jews rejected the offer of salvation in verse 46, and Paul preached the gospel to the Gentiles the following Saturday. A contrast is set up in this particular chapter of Acts between a group of Jews who refused to believe and a group of Gentiles who were obviously willing and eager to believe. Acts 13:38 is a discussion that could be had if we were to be investigate the topic of unconditional election. We won't be doing that here, but that is one of the difficult verses to deal with in the context of free will. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. We need to go and read those because they indicate free will in motion is really what they indicate in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's start in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, They do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, If ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise of being left of us entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, all the way up through Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Notice the phrase "could not" in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. The reason they could not enter into the rest of salvation of the Lord was that they willingly dwelt in unbelief because they had hardened their own hearts. The Bible clearly indicates that it was an action of their will whereby they refused to enter into the rest of God. The basis for entering into God's rest was not unconditional election or irresistible grace, but rather belief, or in other words, faith. It is clear that they resisted the grace of God because it was God's will and desire that they enter into his rest. Yet they provoked and tempted him. We see that documented in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 8, 15, and 16. And then we see that they tempted him in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9. In doing so, they rejected the grace of God. It was not that they had been offered a genuine, it was not that they had not been offered a genuine offer of salvation, because Hebrews 4, 2 indicates that the offer was genuine. There is no unconditional election, limited atonement, or irresistible grace there. None of it, folks. The reason that they could not enter into the rest of the Lord was because the word of God did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith. Faith is always an act of free will. I repeat that. Faith is always an act of free will. If it were not an act of free will, it could not be called faith. The terms unbelief and believe not occur 5 times in the short passage of Scripture that we just read in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. And those terms occur 5 times in that short passage of Scripture, and is identified as the cause of the could not. Their unbelief is the reason that they could not do the things that God wanted them to do. They chose to resist in their works rather than, they chose to rest in their works rather than the finished work of God. And that's documented in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Folks, I have a sovereign God, but he is not the capricious God of Calvinism. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He set the conditions and provided the means for the salvation that he has so graciously and mercifully given me. I was given light from the Word of God. John 1, verse 9. I was convicted of my sin by the Holy Ghost. John 16, verses 7 and 8. I was drawn to Christ by in John chapter 12, verse 32. I was regenerated by the Holy Ghost, as is documented in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, which states, ye must be born again. And then I was granted repentance unto eternal life in Acts chapter 11, verse 18. Hallelujah to that. I looked in John chapter 3, verses 13 through 16, and now I live by the power of Christ that dwells in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. None of those benefits of salvation were granted unto me until I exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. None of the events that were, are, or that could be pleasing unto God following my faith were a work of my flesh. They were strictly a work of God. Philippians 2, verse 13. Regardless of what Calvinism teaches, by scriptural definition, faith is not a work. Let me repeat that. Regardless of what Calvinism teaches, by scriptural definition, faith is not a work. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. If faith is a work, then we may as well cast Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3 out of our Bibles. Let's look at some other passages of Scripture in John 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then these are passages that I referred to just a moment ago. And John 16, verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John chapter 12, verse 32 says this, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That's that drawing that I referred to just a few moments ago. And one of the more famous passages of Scripture from the Bible that tells us that ye must be born again. And I want to emphasize here that being born again is not a dispensational doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Any that entered into the kingdom of heaven must be born again. Let's start in John chapter 3 and read verses 3 through 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Acts chapter 11, verse 18 says this, When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And then we have John chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even so the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then we have Galatians 2:20 that I referred to earlier. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 2:13, For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then we have Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, we deserve hell. We can take no credit for God's having allowed us to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is submitting our will to God's will, believing that He will do what He says He will do. Faith is submitting our will to God's will, believing that He will do what He says He will do. Now, we close this study by stating that we can only come to salvation when we submit our will to the will of God. The act of submitting to the will of God is an act of free will. Otherwise, how could we, or why would we, be commanded to repent? Further, how could we be commanded to obey the gospel if there is no choice in obedience? Believing in and worshiping God is all about submitting our will to God's will. The reason that we do not have more worship in the house of God today is that Christians will not submit their will to the will of God. Worship is all about yielding to the mighty hand of the convicting power and leadership of God the Holy Ghost, that He, that is the Holy Ghost, might bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ through us. When we reach that point, we can and will worship God in the beauty of holiness. When we respond to God the Holy Ghost, we will worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you today to take the opportunity to respond to God, and He will respond to you. Glory to His name. Thank you for joining us.